This podcast is presented by Chicago Sports Nation. Chicago Sports Nation, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience. Welcome to White Sox Nation Podcast, brought to you by Manscaped. Make sure you get the all-new and approved Lawnmower 4.0 on manscaped.com. And of course, use our code SHY, C-H-I, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. Once again, the code is SHY, C-H-I. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping. This is your host, Jack Thiel. And today we're going to be talking about Tim Anderson, how he has basically made himself the face of the White Sox and what he means to the team, but what he also means to the game of baseball. We're also going to recap the Field of Dreams game. Almost was a dream, but in reality, the White Sox won a almost scripted game, you could call it. We're also going to be talking about the White Sox series with the Yankees this past week, our takeaways from it, kind of. You know, what we should expect if the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, considering that we are 1-6 against them, and, you know, the season, or 1-5, I believe I was miscorrected, in the season series. And then we're also going to be talking about Eloy Jimenez. He has just been on a tear ever since he came back from his injury, and why his return has just meant more than just a stat sheet. So with that being said, let's go over this past week's White Sox game. So to start off last week, the White Sox started a series with the Minnesota Twins in Minnesota. They lost 2-3. They were able to win Monday's game 11-1, a couple of home runs, especially from Eloy Jimenez. And then on Tuesday, the White Sox would fall 4-3. And then on Wednesday, which was on YouTube TV for free, and personally was not a fan of that promo at all, the White Sox fell 1-0. And then, like we said, the White Sox traveled to Dyersville, Iowa for the first MLB game in Iowa history. The White Sox would walk it off and win 9-8. And then the White Sox would come home on Saturday and lose 7-5 to the Yankees. And on Sunday, the series finale, the White Sox would once again fall to the Yankees 5-3, losing that series, losing both series this week. And coming into today's action at 68-50 and 10 games in first place ahead of the Cleveland Indians still. So not much room gained or lost on the standings. Actually, this past week, though, weirdly, the Detroit Tigers were in second place for one day. So interesting that the Tigers are pretty right behind the Indians, which is really weird to think about. But with that being said, our first topic of the show will be Field of Dreams. It was a dream, literally. White Sox and Yankees, I thought what they did was so awesome in terms of, you know, all the stuff surrounding the game. You had, obviously, if you didn't see the game, you had the intro where Kevin Costner, who played Ray Kinsella, you know, walk out on the field, and then you heard the Field of Dreams music, and then walking out of the cornfields were the players from the White Sox and Yankees. I thought that was honestly the coolest thing that the MLB could have done with this type of game. You know, we don't really see these types of games played in sports. You know, there's a lot of sports movies made in, you know, in movie history. And, you know, this is really the first time that we've seen a league really adapt, or not even adapt, just, you know, transform themselves into that movie for a night. You know, I mean, there's like Space Jam and NBA. You don't really see them doing that. Obviously, with hockey, there's Miracle. You don't really see, you know, them doing anything with that in terms of, like, the Olympics or so what. So I thought for MLB to do that, it was pretty awesome. And if you missed the game, it was just a home run frenzy. Jose hit one. Eloy hit one. Sebi even hit one. And then, obviously, Tim Anderson's walk-off in the bottom of ninth. It was like a movie. I mean, the way he hit it, it was awesome. And you know, if you are a history nerd like myself in baseball, the first White Sox walk-off home run was Shoeless Joe Jackson. Now, the reason why that's pretty entertaining is because the Field of Dreams movie was made because of the White Sox scandal, which Shoeless Joe Jackson was a part of. That's why the Field of Dreams movie was made. So, you know, for Tim Anderson to have that walk-off, And, you know, obviously the first one is Shoeless Joe Jackson, which, you know, based off the movie, it literally gets, it gets crazier and crazier. And obviously what this topic's turning into is Tim Anderson. You know, I think White Sox fans and people in Chicago, they know how good Tim Anderson is. They know how big of a celebrity, how big of the face of the White Sox and baseball he is. So why is it recognized now? Because the whole world just saw how good of a player he is. Now, people have been talking about it, not very loudly, but after that walk-off home run, I mean, you hear the guys like a Joe Buck go on radio shows and say he's the face of baseball over guys like Fernando Tatis, Shohei Ohtani, and obviously guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You haven't heard this much national media attention on a guy like Tim Anderson. And that's because the leagues haven't, you know, I should say the outlets and networks haven't really given him the respect he deserves. And now White Sox fans are finally, you know, are finally seeing the respect he deserves with all these media networks praising him and talking about him like he is a superstar, because he is a superstar. I mean, if you think about the White Sox last year, this year, and going on in these future years, Tim Anderson, no doubtly, is the leader. Obviously, Jose Abreu is there as well. He's like the dad. But who, the guy that keeps his team together, a guy who, you know, really pumps up the team and really makes you excited to watch White Sox baseball, is Tim Anderson. He is must-see baseball. And, you know, maybe he doesn't have an MVP or the most all-star appearances, but since 2019, he has the best average in the MLB. He has the fifth most hits right now in the MLB. Yeah, he's not a big power guy. He could be. But the fact that Tim Anderson realizes his role as a leadoff man and what he needs to do is get on for the guys behind him just makes him an even better player. So I think for Tim Anderson, this is all overdue. All this attention, all this respect. You know, I would say ever since the year he won that batting title, that he deserved more respect in terms of a national coverage, not just Chicago, a national baseball media coverage. And this walk-off really showed that Tim Anderson is that guy. Like I said, White Sox fans, saw people within the organization and the city all have known this already. We have all known that he is the face of the White Sox. He is one of the faces of baseball, you know. When you think of Chicago athletes going in right now, Tim Anderson is probably a top five Chicago athlete. That's how he is. And, you know, I think now he's getting the attention he deserves. And I feel like once we get closer to postseason, obviously there's less teams involved, but when we get closer to postseason, I can really see a lot of media doing a lot of things on him. I mean, people forget that I believe he had 8 or 9 hits in 3 playoff games in his first playoff series ever last year. I mean, Tim Anderson is a baller. And I think the media networks outside of Chicago are finally realizing this and finally understanding all the hype Chicago fans have been talking about for the past couple of years. And it's overdue. And I'm just so happy for Tim Anderson because he is a huge part to this White Sox team. But he's also a huge part to the MLB. You know, Tim Anderson is a guy who's going to bring your jersey revenue sales up, a guy who's going to make people watch your games. You know, he's going to bring you money. And I think now is the time to realize that just because of this Field of Dreams game. I feel like he has really done his job as a role model and a game changer, not just for the White Sox, but the league itself. And, you know, White Sox fans have been praising him since day one, and now we're seeing the league praise him right now, which is awesome. So the next subject we're going to be talking about is obviously the series with the Yankees and, you know, kind of what to expect in the playoffs. So the White Sox, I believe, are 1-5 with the New York Yankees, and obviously when you hear those numbers, you're a little bit concerned. One, because there are better teams than the Yankees that will be in the playoffs, and two, because it's the Yankees and you might see them in the playoffs, because right now I believe they're the second spot in the wild card, but regardless of what spot they are, they could sneak their way into the playoffs and possibly see themselves playing the White Sox. So why, you know, looking at that series overall, I guess, you know, there wasn't really a beatdown. The White Sox were in every game. Obviously, they won the first game, which was the Field of Dreams game this week. You know, the second game, it was back and forth. Really had the game tied in the ninth by Jose Abreu's home run. And obviously, a couple runs were scored by them in extras. And almost had the chance to win it with Tim Anderson, you know, in that 10th inning. So it really wasn't, you know, obviously it was 7-5, I believe. So it wasn't like a blowout. I mean, it was a close game overall. So, you know, for that kind of series and why White Sox fans shouldn't panic, if you go back to the 2005 World Series team, the White Sox were outplayed and outscored by Anaheim and Boston in 2005 in the regular season. Now, obviously, right now, the White Sox were outscored and outplayed by the New York Yankees in the regular season. And they've outplayed the Astros in the series and were outplayed by the Astros in one series. You know, they've had their, we'll see what the Athletics tonight, which we'll talk about later, another possible playoff team. You know, they had their interesting thing with the Rays. You know, that's kind of back and forth, as well as the Blue Jays. So I think, you know, one thing to realize as a team is I'm not saying regular season's games don't matter. That's the last thing I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is don't have a regular season game try to reflect what this team can do in the postseason. Now, the reason I say that right now is just because Luis is getting back on his groove. He hit a home run, which was awesome. You know, Aloy's on a roll. Everyone, Yoan Moncada is kind of trying to pick it back up. You know, we didn't have Carlos Rodon due to injury, obviously. Lucas Giolito did struggle. But I think you can't evaluate this team based off, you know, regular season games. Obviously, that's how it kind of works. That's how, I mean, they win the games, they lose the games. That's how the record works. But what I mean is that I'm not going to say, oh, the White Sox went 1-5 against the Yankees in the regular season. If they face them in the playoffs, they're totally screwed, because that's not the case. That's not the case at all. I think in the postseason, a lot of things are different. Now, obviously, if the White Sox are home, you have a lot more faith in them. But I think one interesting note is that the White Sox have a bunch of superstars, and sometimes superstars don't show up in the regular season, but they do show up in the playoffs when they are needed to. So I don't really think it's fair to, you know, go off the White Sox and say that, oh, they're not going to do so good against them because they went 1-5 in the regular season. I understand it. The postseason's even more tough, and the White Sox are going to be one of the least experienced AL teams because they've only been there 1 year, and they're going to have to face teams like the Rays, who made the World Series. The Yankees are always a playoff constant. The Astros, obviously World Series and playoff constant as well. Maybe the Athletics, another team who's made the playoffs. The Blue Jays, they've been up there. I mean, there's teams with a lot more experience than the White Sox, and obviously that's going to freak you out. But once again, I don't think you can judge a regular season series and make that case for the White Sox in the playoff series. A lot of things are different in the playoffs, and you can look at it on paper, you can look at the stats, you can look at whatever you want, but I don't think it's fair to judge a team off of their regular season performance against, you know, in terms of the postseason. I think in the postseason, you throw everything out. You know, you throw the guy who hit the game-winning home run in the bottom of the ninth of Game 3 of the game of Game 162 in the season, you know? You got to throw all that out and go out there and play baseball. You know, everything's different. And when it comes to the playoffs, you know, that stuff doesn't matter as much as it does in the regular season. In my opinion, it's different. You know, when you make the playoffs, like I said, you throw everything out, and it's whoever plays better that day. And that's what I think the case is for the White Sox. Obviously, they've had their struggles with the Yankees, but I think the White Sox will be fine, and I don't think you should look at these regular season matchups and think they're totally screwed because they struggled, oh, 2 games out of 6 against the Yankees. So the final subject is going to be about Eloy Jimenez, and the reason why is Eloy, I mean, we talked about him a little bit with this comeback and everything, but I think one thing Eloy Jimenez has done is made this team better, and that's obviously common sense. But what I mean by that is, as much as how good Eloy has been playing, one thing to notice is Jose Abreu is getting hot right now. He is hitting the ball better than he has all year, and August is when he gets hot. But also another reason why is because he has protection on the lineup courtesy of Eloy Jimenez. And the way Eloy is playing right now, you don't even want to pitch to him, and he's behind Abreu. So when you look at that lineup, you know, Eloy is just making a presence more than just his bat. Just his presence in general, I guess I should say, has caused the White Sox hitters to hit better, because when Eloy wasn't even on the team at the time, you could pitch around Jose. You would feel confident with facing a Yermin Mercedes, a Brian Goodwin, Andrew Vaughn early in his career. But now, with Eloy behind Jose, you are really scared to pitch around Jose, because that just means you're putting a runner on for Eloy to bat, and that's the last thing you want to do, because we know how well Eloy's bat is. So I think with Eloy's return the past 2 weeks, you've been seeing the numbers rise for Jose, Tim Anderson a little bit, and I think guys are Andrew Vaughn. He's another guy who's been playing very well these past 2 weeks. Now he hits behind Eloy, but still, I mean, I feel like the return of Eloy, and I think with Luis, we're going to see this as well, the protection in the lineup is getting so much better. And you look at the lineup these guys are now going to have to face. I mean, in the beginning of the season, it was guys like Brian Goodwin or Jake Lamb, Nick Williams, if you want to go really, you know, first part of the season. And no offense to those guys, they're decent ball players, but they're not Eloy Jimenez or Luis Robert. And I think that's, you know, the thing that goes unnoticed. That's the unsung hero part, or the unwritten part, is that the way that Eloy, a Luis, changed this lineup is dramatic. You know, the way they make other players' numbers better. And that goes for almost everyone, like Jose as well, another guy. But, you know, when we saw in the early part of the year, is we did see a lot of struggles from Jose and Yoan Moncada. Now, Yoan Moncada's still trying to pick it up. I think he will. But I think the biggest thing was that Jose was swinging at a lot of pitches he probably wouldn't swing at. And the thing was, he was kind of forced to, because he thought he had to, because there's not much protection behind him. You know, Jose is a guy who wants to drive in runs and obviously put his team in the best position to win. You know, and a guy like that, you know, he knows how good he is. He knows the power he possesses. When you don't have great ball players behind you, you're going to try to expand your zone and just get on any way possible. But now that you have Eloy behind you, Luis behind you, a way improved Andrew Vaughn behind you, soon to be Yasmani Grandal behind you, you're going to see a lot more pitches in the zone. And if you don't, Jose will gladly take the walks. He will gladly sit on first base and let Eloy, Luis, Vaughn, and Yasmani do what they do. And that's why these returns have been so helpful for the White Sox. Yeah, they've probably should have won some games that they should have won, and they haven't. But I think when it comes to postseason and everyone's healthy in this lineup, you see the way that pitchers struggle. You see why it's so frustrating to face this White Sox lineup. It's just because you have to throw your best pitches or they're going to hurt you. I mean, 1-9, the White Sox are loaded in the lineup. I really say their only default or defect would be a designated hitter. You know, they can switch off with a bunch of guys, but at the end of the day, that's really, I mean, if you're going to say that 8 guys in the lineup you're scared to face, that's a playoff team. Now, for pitchers, they never want to face a lineup where 8 of the hitters, you have to throw your best stuff, or there's a good chance that ball is going in the stands. So I think the return of Eloy, obviously Luis, we'll see Yasmani in the next weeks. You know, I think these returns have been bigger than just the stats on the sheets. They've just really have helped the team and a whole gel together before the playoffs, but also just make things easier for everyone in the lineup and, you know, help them win some big games. And I think, you know, once we get into late August, September, and when this team should be at full strength, I expect Yasmani Grandal to be back by then. I mean, you're really going to see this team take off. So with that being said, we're going to go to our break and our ads by Manscaped and Anchor. And after that, we're going to take a look at this week's games and give our bold predictions. Stay tuned, everybody. Breaking news. This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems like Manscaped worked with Elon Musk engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, what makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch, which you can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The Optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHY, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHY, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code SHY. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Welcome back to White Sox Nation Podcast. Once again, this is your host, Jack Thiel. Hope you guys listen to those ads because you should use that code by Manscaped. It's SHY, C-H-I, and you get 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, that Lawnmower 4.0 is a magic worker, and everybody needs to get their hands on it. So the White Sox this week, they've got their hands full. They're going to start in Chicago this week against the Oakland Athletics for the first time all year. The White Sox haven't seen them since the 2020 AL Wild Card. It's going to be a four-game set at Guaranteed Rate Field. Game one on Monday will be ex-White Sox Frankie Montas against current White Sox Dallas Keuchel. And then on game two, Tuesday at 7:10 for the White Sox, it's going to be former White Sox Chris Bassitt. And according to ESPN, Ronaldo Lopez is scheduled to start. We'll see what happens there, but according to ESPN. On Wednesday for game three, it's going to be Cole Irvin, the left-hander for the Athletics, and Lance Lynn for the White Sox coming off that Field of Dreams start. On Thursday, a 1:10 game, it's going to be James Caprillion, the right-hander for the Athletics, and Dylan Cease to finish off that series. And then the White Sox will travel to Tampa Bay to face off against the Rays for three games. The first game on Friday at 6:10, it will be Lucas Giolito and Luis Patino. On Saturday, a 12:10 start time, will be Dallas Keuchel, and will be undecided for the Rays, so we'll see who starts for them on that Saturday game. And then the season series finale on Sunday in Tampa Bay, ESPN has Ronaldo Lopez starting, and then for the White Sox, and then for the Rays, it has Drew Rasmussen starting for the Rays. So White Sox play every day this week, seven games against two potential playoff teams. Obviously, the Rays in first place at 71-47. The Athletics are 68-50. They have the same record as the White Sox. So, in honesty, facing two first-place caliber teams, you know, four at Guaranteed Rate and three, obviously, at Tropicana Field and Tampa Bay, Florida. So, a very interesting week for the White Sox. I think it's going to be tough. And I think if the White Sox can go 500 this week, that's successful. You know, 4-3, obviously, is where you would want to be. These are playoff teams. You know, these are the playoff games. These are like the pregames for the playoff games, you know. These get you ready for those tense October, you know, four-hour games. I'm not saying these games will be 4 hours, but, you know, these are the games that prepare you for those types of games, and I think it's going to be a great test for the White Sox. I think 4-3, you called a successful weekend. So with that being said, let's go to our bold predictions brought to you by Manscaped. I think Yoan Moncada has two home runs this week. It's a guy whose power numbers haven't been there all year long, so I think, you know, maybe the weather is looking very nice in Chicago, and, you know, when you always go to Tropicana Field, the ball may fly a little more. So I think two home runs, maybe more, for Yoan Moncada this week. Bold prediction number two is Luis Robert totals six RBIs this week. I think Luis has been swinging the ball very well ever since coming back from his injury, and I think now this is a week that we could really see Luis Robert take over. Now that it seems like he's back in that groove and he's ready to roll. Bold prediction number three. This one is going to be for Dylan Cease. I think Dylan Cease, both of his starts he's projected to make. I believe he's supposed to make two starts. He throws two earned runs or less in any starts he has this week, whether it's one or two, whatever, how many starts he throws. In each of those starts, he'll throw two earned runs or less. And then the last one will be Lance Lynn throws a complete game. I don't know if there'll be a shutout, but I think a Lance Lynn game could be in store. No, he kind of got roughed up against the Yankees a little bit, only threw six innings. So I think Lance Lynn's going to want to come out and pitch some of his best ball and throw a complete game. So with that being said, you can listen to White Sox Nation podcast, which is brought to you by Manscaped, on all podcast platforms. Episodes come out every Monday. With that being said, it's your host, Jack Thiel, signing off and saying, have a great day, everybody.